Hello and good morning. Happy Sabbath. My name is Charles Vance, and this is Living Words Podcast. We're going through the In His Footsteps devotional, 1 week at a time for the whole year and to be in John. And if you'd like a copy of the devotional, you can find a link to the Amazon page in the show notes. Now, this is our sixth week in the book of John, and this week we're going to be talking about the healing of the royal official's son. Now, the text for the week is John 4, 46 through 54. Now, as usual, I'll be reading from the King James Version, so if you'd like to read along, that's John 4, verse 46 through 54. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of the Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And then Jesus said unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And the nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. And then inquired he of them the hour when he began to mend. And they said to him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And he himself believed, and his whole house. And this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we just praise your name. We thank you for this glorious Sabbath. We thank you for peaceful times. And we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, which you did give to us, that you would draw us in and that we would hear your words, be cleansed and purged by the washing of the water of the word. We just pray that you would open our hearts through our ears and our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and that we would have an open heart to receive your word in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, again, I'd like to say that the emphasis on this devotion study is not to just learn a set of facts. It's not about head knowledge, what you know. This is about experiencing the transformative work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And I'm using John because John has so many remarkable things. He definitely had a closer relationship than any of the other disciples to Yeshua. He brings forth right out of the gate, which we saw the first three lessons, the first three studies, was about the identity of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, Messiah, as God incarnate, and not just some mere man or teacher. So in recounting the second sign, the event not only showcases the miraculous power of Jesus Christ, but it delves into the themes of faith, authority, and the reach of his ministry beyond the Jewish community. Now, let's explore the passage's significance and its theological implications. After the encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus returns to Cana in Galilee, the site of his first sign, where he turned water into wine, to a royal official in Capernaum whose son is gravely ill. He hears of the arrival of Jesus and seeks him out, pleading for Jesus to heal his son, who is close to death. And in verse 48, his response to the official was, Well, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. This is a critique of faith that relies solely on miracles and signs. So it also sets the stage for a deeper understanding and demonstration of faith. So he's immediately critical of, you know, where's your faith? You just want to see a sign. In verse 49 and 50, the official's earnest plea, Sir, come down before my child dies. This contrasts with the call for faith, and Jesus tells him, Go, your son will live. The official believes his word, departs, which is an act of faith, not based on sight, but on trust in the authority of Jesus Christ. He didn't care about a sign. The nobleman didn't care about a sign. He wanted his son healed. And I think that it was a bit of a test for him. You know, when Jesus said, What, you just want a sign? It was a test. No, I don't care about a sign. I want my son healed. He's sick. Verse 51 to 53, And on his way back, the official servants meet him with the news that his son is recovering. He learns that the fever left his son at the exact hour Jesus had said, "Your son will live," which leads to the whole household to believe in Jesus. Now, this narrative emphasizes the power of his word, the growth of faith from initial belief to a deeper conviction, and the spreading of faith to the entire household. Now, verse 54, the passage concludes by noting that this was the second sign performed after coming from Judea to Galilee, linking it to a broader context of his ministry and the unfolding of his mission. Now, the theological significance is faith beyond sight. The royal official's faith transitions from a desperate hope in Jesus' ability to perform a miracle to a confident belief in his word. This evolution of faith underscores a key theme in John. True faith rests in Jesus' word and authority, not merely in witnessing miraculous deeds. The authority of Jesus' word. The healing demonstrates the authority of his word, which can transcend distance and bring about instantaneous healing. It attests to the divine power and authority over life and death of Jesus Christ. Inclusivity of the ministry of Jesus. The interaction with the royal official, likely a Gentile, illustrates the inclusivity of his ministry. It signifies the extension of his saving work beyond the Jews. And this is a theme that unfolds throughout the gospel. Signs pointing to belief. The signs Jesus performs are not ends in themselves, but a means to bring people to faith. The official and his household believe in Jesus through the sign, highlighting the role of the miracles in revealing his identity and mission. Now, what are the lessons we can glean from this passage? Okay, first, faith that transcends sight and the power of Jesus' word. Genuine faith in Jesus is characterized by trust in his word, even without physical evidence. The story exemplifies this through the royal official's belief in the promise, which was fulfilled through the power of the spoken word of Yeshua. This teaches us the effectiveness of his commands and the importance of faith that relies on his authority rather than seeking signs. And Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went on his way. All right, the next lesson that can be drawn is that Jesus, his compassion and the universality of his mission. All right, the healing of Christ, of the official son, demonstrates his boundless compassion and highlights that his offer of salvation transcends social, ethnic, and religious boundaries. It underscores the inclusivity of his mission, affirming that his grace and mercy are available to all who believe, regardless of status or background. John 4:53. The father realized that this was the exact moment at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. Now, the role of obedience and personal testimony in faith is another lesson. The royal official's obedience to the instruction of Jesus before witnessing the miracle serves as a powerful expression of faith. Additionally, his testimony about the healing power of Jesus leads his entire household to believe, illustrating the significant impact of personal testimony in spreading the gospel and deepening faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Here's some questions for reflection and discussion. How does this miracle deepen your understanding of the authority of the word of Jesus? Can you recall instances where his word has been powerful in your own life? Now, I'll tell you what that means to me, how it deepened my understanding, is because the official knew the very hour. He knew the exact time. He had made a mental note of it, I'm sure, that when Jesus told him, "Your son lives," he knew what hour it was. Now, if he had had a watch, he might have known the exact second. But I can guarantee you, now that later when he got there, they said it was the very moment, you know, at the seventh hour. And he knew that that was the very moment, or within the hour. Again, he didn't know exactly because he didn't have a watch. But I'll guarantee you, in my heart, I believe it was the instant, the exact instant. And, you know, every day, every decision comes from Jesus Christ. That's what this shows us. Some people might say, well, that was just a coincidence, you know, that this had happened. It was just, you know, there was no, how do you know it was Jesus? How do you know he wasn't going to get better anyway? And these are the kind of things that we, in our daily life, we see things that may seem to be a coincidence. You know, for instance, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to do even the small things for us as well as the big things. You know, sometimes when you're going into a busy shopping center and you're looking for a parking spot and there's one right on the front, the whole parking lot's full and there's one right on the front. And some people say it's just timing, but I would say every decision comes from God, every decision. So next, reflect on the royal official's faith. What does it teach us about trusting in Jesus, even when the evidence of his work is not immediately visible? Again, we need the response to the promise of Jesus is faith, trust, that he will fulfill what he said he would fulfill. So in what ways does this sign challenge or encourage you to believe in Jesus' power beyond physical limitations? That it doesn't matter whatever the problem is, whatever the obstacle, whatever the challenge, his authority, his power, are bigger than any obstacle, any problem you can face in your life. If you just ask him for help and trust and believe that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Discuss the significance of the whole household coming to faith through the miracle, and how does it illustrate the communal impact of personal faith? I think this is just an ongoing, it's the ongoing message and mission. You know, this was a common theme throughout the Acts and all the early churches, that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit was the strongest in the beginning. It was ground zero. Here you had on the earth, the walking in flesh, God himself and the Holy Spirit moving. And it was common that whole groups of people would receive at the same time. And then later, after Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, it was common that the whole house would follow when the man of the house would believe. And I think that just proves the testament. Now, I don't think the power of the Holy Spirit's gotten any less. It's not diminished over time, and over the last 2,000 years, it's the same. What's happened is that I think we as a culture have gotten away, and we've gotten polluted, and it's harder to hear his message, harder to see his actions through miraculous works, you know, because we're corrupted. So that what we can do then is seek to get cleansing and return to the just a simple and pure faith of the word. So consider his willingness to perform this miracle in response to the official's plea. How does it shape your understanding of how he responds to our needs and expressions of faith? I think he wants us to dig a little bit. You know, it's like he challenged the guy. He didn't just say, okay, yeah, go, he's living. No, he said, why do you ask for a sign? Why do you think you need a sign? And the guy said, I don't need a sign. I want my son well. And then he said, go, he lives. So I think he challenges us to really understand, you know, who he is, not just come for like a magic trick or something. It's a miracle should be taken in faith and trust for the compassion of it, knowing that his word is going to fulfill what it went forth to do. Now, here's some suggested prayers for the week. So here's a prayer for faith in the word of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we come before you inspired by the story of the royal official who believed in your word for his son's healing. Teach us to have that same faith that does not rely on seeing miracles, but trusts in your promises. Help us to cling to your words of faith, comfort, and truth, especially in times of doubt or despair. Increase our faith that we may rely on you completely, knowing that your word is powerful and faithful to accomplish what it promises. Amen. This is a prayer for healing and compassion. Heavenly Father, your compassion and healing know no bounds. We pray for those among us in need of your touch, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual healing. And like the royal official, we seek your intervention, trusting in your mercy and power to restore. Extend your hand of healing over our lives and our loved ones, that we may experience your grace anew. May our hearts always be open to receive the fullness of your love and healing presence. Amen. Now, a prayer for obedience and witness. Holy Spirit, guide us in walking obediently in the path that Jesus has laid out for us, trusting in his word even when the path seems unclear. Strengthen us to be faithful witnesses of your work in our lives, sharing our testimonies to encourage others and lead them to deeper faith in Jesus. Empower us to live out the gospel in word and deed, that through our lives, others might come to know the inclusive and saving love of Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining me this week. It is always my prayer that you have a good week, that you find some comfort, some thread of truth that can lead you to a transformative renewal through the Word of God. And please join me again next week, and I'll see you, and happy Shabbos.